All right, so let's get started. So our topic for today is the mitzvah of tashbisu. We already mentioned that there are a bunch of different lavin and a bunch of different mitzvos aseh. Well, not a bunch, but there are a bunch of isurim that are connected with Pesach, and there's also seemingly what's an aseh, and that's the pasuk that says ach biyom rishon tashbisu su'or mibateichem. That there is a mitzvah to.
Yeah, I did. No, you went to
one point. Yo.
Okay, good. Very good. Welcome, Yisrael. Welcome, Benji. Good to see you guys. Sorry I just muted you, but you were making a lot of noise. Okay, so we're going to get started. I hope everybody can hear me. So we're talking about the mitzvah of Tashbisu. Tashbisu su'or mibateichem. We have a mitzvah's ase, seemingly, to destroy chametz. Tashbisu, which means to destroy. That's the mitzvah. So there's a very interesting Rambam. The Rambam in Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel of Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah. So the Rambam says like this. Welcome, Dean.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Good to have you. Bring a smile to all our faces. Okay. Halacha Gimel. Says the Rambam, Eino lokem mishum lo yirad lo yimotzei. We know that there are isurim of bal yirah, bal yimotzeh. You're not allowed to own, you're not allowed to find. It's an isur to have chametz in your rishus on Pesach. That's where you go so crazy, cleaning everything. We clean, first of all, we don't want to come to eat it. That's one reason to clean it, because you know you eat chametz all year. So if you leave a sandwich in your closet, you might just take a bite out of it because you're so used to eating it. But in addition to that, there's an isur to have chametz in your house. So let's say I don't destroy the chametz, and I have chametz in my house over Pesach. So what's the din? So I've been over on an iser. So says the Rambam like this: Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel. Eino lokem mishum lo yirah velo yimotzei ela im ken kana chametz bePesach o chimtzo kedei sheyase bo maisa. You're not going to be over on the iser of owning chametz unless you go out and actually buy chametz, or your machmetz, you mix together yeast and flour and water, or flour and water, in order to create chametz. Aval im hayu lo chametz kodem haPesach, but if you owned chametz before Pesach, uba Pesach velo biaro, but you sat back, you didn't do anything, right? You sat by the pool, your feet up in the nice Florida sun, and you just didn't destroy your chametz. That's it. Elohi nicho b'rishuso. You left it in your rishus. Afa pisha over al shnei lavin. Even though you were over on two lavin, eino loke min haTorah mipnei shelo asa ba maisa. You don't get malchus because you didn't do a maisa. We know that there's a principle that lav she'ein bo maisa ein loken alav. If you do a lav but you don't do a maisa, you don't get malchus. So pretty straightforward. The Rambam says, therefore, the only way to be over on the Isser of, the only way to get, excuse me, Malkus for the Isser of Bal Yirah, Bal Yimotzeh, is if you go ahead and do a Maisa. You buy Chametz, you make Chametz. But if you just don't clean your house and you leave Chametz in your Rishus, so you're over on an Isser, but you don't get Malkus because it's a Lav Shein Bo Maisa. It's passive, you didn't do anything. Clear? Everyone's good with the Rambam? Okay, so that's the Rambam. However, everybody has a big kasha on this Rambam. And the question is like this. It's true, lav she'en bo maisa, ein lokin alav. You don't get malchus for a lav she'en bo maisa. But there is, oh wow, Dave is on the airplane. Yeah, Dave, are you on the airplane right now?
No, I'm in the Sheirut.
Oh, the Sheirut, okay. Look like an airplane. Welcome. Okay. And Tzvi, okay, very good. Good to see you, Tzvi. Okay, so as follows. We know that there's a principle, lav she'en bo maisa ein lokin alav. That's true. But there's another principle. The other principle is that a lav which is nitak le'esei, you don't get malchus on. What does that mean, a lav ha'nitak le'esei? Any lav which is fixed, nitak, it's fixed or it's connected with in asei. Classic example, Binny? What's the classic example? Stealing. If you steal, there's an assay that you can do to fix it. What's the assay? The heshiv is hagzela. I think I did I mute you and therefore you can't talk? Is that the problem? Veheshiv is agzela, which is a mitzvah to return a stolen object. So even though there's a maisa associated with it, because I went into your pocket and I stole, but there's a mitzvah, veheshiv is agzela. And veheshiv is agzela is an ase which fixes the laf. So everyone asks on the Rambam the following question. The Rambam said, I'm not going to get Malkus. Why am I not going to get Malkus? Why am I not going to get Malkus? Because I didn't do a Maisa. Because I left my Chametz in my Rishos. Okay, but if I would go ahead and buy Chametz on Pesach, I would get Malkus. But why? Even if I do it with a Maisa, I still shouldn't get Malkus. Because of the principle of Laf Anitak Le'Esei. Why is it a Laf Anitak Le'Esei? Because there's a mitzvah saseh to destroy chametz. Tashpisu su'or mi batechem. Destroy your chametz. If you own chametz on Pesach, and all of a sudden you don't realize it, you open a drawer and you see in there a pizza pie. So you have a mitzvah saseh to go and destroy that pizza. Burn it. We're going to see. Burn it, flush it down the toilet, whatever you're going to do to it. That's a mitzvah saseh to destroy chametz. So it should be, this is the nekuda we're saying, it should be that no matter what I do, I shouldn't get Malkus. Granted, if I leave it in my Rishus and I don't do a Maisa like buying it or making it, it's a Lav Sheinbo Maisa, and for sure I don't get Malkus. But even if I do a Maisa like buying it or making Chametz, I still shouldn't get Malkus because it's a Lav Hanitak Le'Esei. And a Lav Hanitak Le'Esei ain't Lokin Olav. That's the Kasha. So according to the Rambam, I should never get Malkus. So in order to answer this kasha, which is, if we had to say it in a sentence, why isn't the lav of Bal Yiro and Bal Yimotze, why isn't it a lav hanitak le'esei of Tashbish? Shalom, David. So why isn't it a lav hanitak le'esei because of the mitzvah saseh of Tashbisu? That's the kasha. Okay. So to answer this kasha, we need to understand a little bit more about Tashbisu. And by understanding more about Tashbisu, we'll be able to perhaps answer this question. So we're going to discuss the approach of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the Grach, in his Sefer on the Rambam. It's a famous Mahalach, very, very beautiful Mahalach. And hopefully with that, we'll be able to answer up the kasha. So let's look into Tashbisu a little bit, and then we'll hopefully at the end of the shiur come back to answer the kasha. So we start our discussion here with a Mishnah in Psachim in the very beginning of the second parak, Kol Shah. Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph in Psachim. So says the Mishnah like this, Machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Bir Chametz El Esreifa. The way you do Bir Chametz, the way you destroy Chametz, is via Sreifa, by burning the Chametz. V'chachamim Omerim, but the Chachamim say, Af mifarer v'zor l'ruach omati layom. The Chachamim say you don't have to burn it. You can break it into lots of pieces and throw it into the ocean. You can throw it into the wind. Many different possibilities the Chachamim say that you have for destroying your chametz. So what is pshat in this machlokas? It sounds like this machlokas is purely a very technical machlokas. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there's one way to destroy chametz. For some reason, you can only destroy your chametz by burning it. According to the Chachamim, no, the way you destroy your chametz is many other ways. You could burn it, but you can throw it into the wind. You can throw it into the ocean. So it sounds like they're having a machlokas here about, is there a specific way to destroy chametz and to be mekayem the mitzvah tashbisu? Or anything you do to get rid of it is going to be a kiyum of the mitzvah of Tashbisu. Okay, that's what we find here in the Mishnah. Now, if you look in the Rambam, so the Rambam paskins like the Chachamim. If you look in Perek Gimel, I believe it is. Yeah, Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Aleph. So the Rambam says as follows. Ketzad bir chametz. How does one destroy chametz? Sarfo, you burn it. Oh, porer v'zore l'ruach, oh, zarko l'yam. Or you break it up into little pieces and throw it into the wind or throw it into the ocean. It's kasha, and it's hard to do it. So by throwing it into the ocean. So first break it up into pieces and then throw it into the ocean. So the Rambam here very clearly paskins like who? Like the Chachamim. You don't have to burn it. You can also break it up into little pieces. You can throw it into the ocean. That's how the Rambam paskins, like the Chachamim. What's the Nafkamina? What does it make a difference? Yisrael, let's see, who does Yisrael have over there with him? He's got Yisrael and David Taxer. Beautiful. Johnny just logged in, so hello, Johnny. Welcome. Dina's back. Okay, we're getting there. We have 15 participants. Okay, good. Good to see everyone. All right. Wow, we're even having some people from Siyama, other Shurim, and a sandwich maker. Excellent. Very good. So let's address the issue here. What's the nafkamina? What does it make a difference if you hold like the Chachamim or if you hold, who do we got there? I'm not sure who that is. Is that Reuven? Who is that? Is that Zachariah? Okay, Zachariah, very good. Zach, okay, very good. Okay, so what's the nafkamina? If you hold like the Chachamim, or if you hold like Rebbe Meir. So you're going to say, okay, what do you mean? What's the nafkamina? According to Rebbe Meir, you have to burn it. And according to the Chachamim, you could do whatever you want to destroy it. Okay, that's true. But is there another nafkamina? So there is a Mishnah in Maseches Temura. It happens to be a famous Mishnah, even though it's Temura. And you might think, are there any famous Mishnayos in Temura? Yes, this is a very famous Mishnah in Temura. The Mishnah says as follows. That there are things that are nikbarin and there are things that are nisrafin. Elu heina nikbarin. Now this mute option is amazing. I've never given shir so quietly before. So elu heina nikbarin. These are the nikbarin. Kodshim shepilu yikbaru hipilu shalya tikaver shor niskal egla rufa. We have a whole list here of things that the din is that the way you get rid of them is by burying them. Then the Mishnah tells us, "Eluhein anisrafin." There are things that require sreifa. So there's certain things that are usher b'hanah that require sreifa. Certain things that are usher and hanah that require kvura, burying them in the ground. What is the difference? So I don't know if any of you have a Gemara Temura in front of you, but if you look in Tosfos, Tosfos quotes a nafkamina and it's mashma. That Tosfos had this in his Mishnah itself. That was the lashon of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says like this. The Tosfos says like this. Hanisrafin ofron mutter, v'hanikbarin ofron aser. There's a nafkamina. The nafkamina is, if you burned it, does the result become? If you burned it, that's also amazing. I could just shut off somebody's camera also. It's like you just make someone disappear from the shir, just like that. So if you burn it, are you able to then use the ashes after you burned it? Okay. What's the nafkamina? So Tosfos basically says like this. Tzarech ian taima mai. That's what he had a lashon in the Mishnah that said, Hanisrafin ofren armutter, nikbarin ofren aser. If you burn it, the afer that's left afterwards is mutter for you to use. Whatever you want to use afer for. And the nikbarin, if you would burn them, the afer is not mutter. You understand the difference? If you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, again, that's going to be our nafkamina, but let's first talk, I guess, in the Mishnah and Temura. If you're dealing with something that requires sreifa and you burn it, so then the afer is mutter afterwards. If it's something that has a din of kvura, so then if you would burn it, the afer is still usser. Says Tosfos, why? Says Tosfos, Kevin shetziva hakasav l'sarfon achar she'asa ki'ilu nasis mitzvasa. Since the Torah told you specifically to burn it, once you burn it, so then it receives a status called nasis mitzvasa. Its mitzvah was done. And once its mitzvah is done, the result afterwards is no longer asur bahana. That's how Tosfos explains. So according to this, we should have a nafkamina. And the Torah says this out explicitly. I gave you the Torah, the Makoro sheet. The Torah says, you want to know a nafkamina between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? I'll tell you the nafkamina. If you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that the din is sreifa. So then if you burn your chametz, the efer afterwards is no longer has the status of chametz anymore. It's no longer asur b'hana, and you're allowed to use the efer. It's not asur b'hana. But if you hold, like Rabbi Yehuda, that there's no specific din to burn it. The din is, get rid of it. However you can get rid of it. Throw it in the ocean, throw it into the wind, flush it down the toilet, burn it, however you want to get rid of it. So then you've never triggered this din called Nasis Mitzvasa. Because Nasis Mitzvasa means the Torah told you a specific thing to do with it, you did it, and now it's no longer the same object anymore. Now it's Nasis Mitzvasa. It's no longer Asur Bahana. So says the Torah, that's going to be the Nafkamina. And the Torah, he says, you have to be careful. You have to make sure that it's actually burned. If it's just like on fire a little bit, but it's not completely consumed yet, so then that's not considered completely burned. In order for it to be considered completely burned, in order for it to become mutter, of Nasis Mitzvasa, it's got to be completely burned. Okay. Says the Torah, and therefore, since we paskin like, who'd we say we paskin like in Paragimel? The Chachomim. So since we paskin like the Chachomim, the din is, it's never Nasis Mitzvasa. And if anyone asks you, what's the halacha? Is, if you burn chametz, can you then use the afer for something? The answer is no. The afer is still usser. Why is the afer still usser? Because it was never Nasis Mitzvasa. Yeah, go ahead, Eitan.
Why can't it be considered Nasis Mitzvasa? If you throw in the wind or you throw in the ocean, why can that be considered Nasis Mitzvasa?
Excellent. So that is Rabbi Akiva Eiger's kasha. Let's first take a look at the Torah. Again, the Torah said, and I understand your kasha, but the Torah said, listen, there's a very simple cheshbon. If you did sreifa, nasis mitzvasa, the efer is mutter. That's if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda. If you hold like the Chachamim, the din is not dafka sreifa, anything, and therefore it's not nasis mitzvasa, and therefore it's still going to be aser, the efer. So asks Eitan, or Rabbi Akiva Eiger, they ask what seems to be just a very obvious question. I don't understand. If the whole mechanism that makes the Efer Mutter is the fact that Nasis Mitzvasa is the fact that I did what the Torah wants me to do, what does it make a difference if the Torah has a very specific direction? Or if the Torah has very expansive direction? What does it make a difference if the Torah says burn it? Or if the Torah says burn it, or bury it, or throw it in the toilet, or throw it in the ocean, or throw it in the wind? Lamaisa, I did what the Torah told me to do. Again, let's ask the question a little bit differently. If you would have told me that the whole chiddush of Nasis Mitzvasa, or if you would have told me, no, let's not say it like that, let's say it like this. If you would have told me that the whole hefter afer is because there's dafka, a din of burning, then I understand. If there's a din of burning, so according to Yehuda, there's a din of burning, according to Chacham, there's no din of burning. But if Tosfos says the whole heter of the Afer is totally on this principle called Nasis Mitzvasa, I did the mitzvah that I'm supposed to do, so then I did the mitzvah I'm supposed to do. And if I did the mitzvah I'm supposed to do, so why shouldn't it be mutter? That's Rabbi Akiva Eiger's kasha. And therefore Rabbi Akiva Eiger leaves it as a tzarech ion. He doesn't understand why the Torah thinks that this question of is the Afer mutter, is the Afer not mutter, that should be tali on the machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. He says, l'chora, it shouldn't be tali on that at all. L'chora, no matter who you hold like, the efer should be mutter afterwards because you did the mitzvah. Okay, yeah, Jonah, question.
Can you explain the question one more time? Really quickly.
According to Rabbi Akiva Eiger?
Yeah.
Yeah, the question is as follows. The Torah makes the issue of, is the efer of the chametz mutter or not after you burn it? He says that question, that halachic question, right? You call up your rabbi. Rabbi, I burned my chametz. Is the efer still aser b'hana, or can I use the efer? So when you ask the rabbi that question, he'll tell you, oh, the Torah says the answer to that question is dependent on whether you paskin like Rabbi Meir, or whether you paskin like, excuse me, Rabbi Yehuda, or the Chachamim. I know I keep saying Rabbi Meir. Whether you paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, or whether you paskin like the Chachamim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that the mitzvah is dafka sreifa. So then, if you were so reifit, it triggers the din of Nasis Mitzvasa, and the Efer is mutter. Because whenever we have the principle of Nasis Mitzvasa, the Efer is mutter, as Tosfos says in Lama Gimel and Beis and Temura. But if you hold like the Chachamim, that there's no mitzvah dafka and sreifa, the mitzvah is even if you throw it into the wind, even if you throw it into the ocean, even if you flush it down the toilet, and also if you burn it. So then it's not going to be mutter after you burned it because you haven't done nasis mitzvah. You're not, it's not going to be mutter. That's what the Torah says. Now, Rabbi Akiva Eiger asks on that and says, I don't understand why it should be dependent on whether I hold like Rabbi Yehuda or whether I hold like the Chachamim. Lamaisa, everyone agrees, seemingly, that there's a mitzvah to do to destroy my chametz. Rabbi Yehuda happens to be very machmir. He requires one way to destroy your chametz. The Chachamim are more mekel. They allow other ways to destroy your chametz. But everybody agrees that when you do destroy your chametz, you're mekayim the mitzvah of tashmisu. So if I burned it for the Chachamim, I was mekayim the mitzvah. It's true, I could have thrown it into the wind. I could have flushed it down the toilet. But lemaisa, when I burned it, I was also mekayim the mitzvah. So it should trigger the din of nasis mitzvah.
But the mitzvah can just be in destroying it, not in not being able to use it afterwards.
That's fine. But if I, lemaisa, the rule is if you did the mitzvah, so then it's no longer going to be usur. So if you burned it, we just have to ask the question. If you burned it, according to Rabbi Yehuda, did you do the mitzvah of tashbisu? Yes. So is the efer mutter? Yes. According to the Chachamim, if you burned it, I know you could also throw it to the wind, but let's say I chose to burn it. If I burned it, did I do the mitzvah of tashbisu? What would you say, Jonah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So if you did the mitzvah, nasas mitzvah, so the efer should be mutter. Why does the Torah say it depends on whether you hold like Rabbi Yehuda or the Chachamim? Zach, yeah, what do you want to ask? Zach.
Tosfos, wait, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Didn't Tosfos, he says about the Asherah tree that it's still going to be also even after you burned it because there's a specific pasuk.
Right.
And then he talks about the Sreifa. Wasn't he saying that they learn that the whole Ikka mitzvah of destroying chametz is from burning it? And so that's why you're allowed to use the ashes after.
Yes.
They didn't say it. But they just said the pasuk about burning it.
No, he says that by an Asherah is an exception. Right? And he says, however, by the Nikbarim, the lo hitin akos of Lasarfon, where the Torah didn't require you to burn them, the Isser continues forever, even if you burn it.
Okay.
So Tosfos says this difference between Nikbarim and Nisrafin. He's not talking about chametz. He's talking about the things listed in the Mishnah over there. But the Torah is the one who then takes that and applies it to chametz and says that when you're dealing with chametz, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, so the din is, it should be mutter. If you hold like the Chachamim, the din is that it should be usur. And Rabbi Kiva asks why. Okay. So we're already getting close to the half hour mark. But let's go through Rav Chaim. And then we'll see. I don't know how many of you, give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down if you had a chance to go through the Makoros before. That's not, there you go. Thank you, Ephraim. Very good. Ellie, you're off screen. Ellie, you're off screen. Half, okay, half. Like one of these, okay. Jonah, also half. Zach, up. Dean, that's a down. What's that?
That is a down, unfortunately.
That's a down. It's okay. Jonathan?
That's back.
That's a down, okay. Miriam? Down. Okay. So let me just start with Avi. Chatzi chatzi. Okay. So let me start with Rav Chaim, and I'll take a few minutes. Okay, Jonathan, 1 second. I'll take just a few minutes to say out Rav Chaim, and then maybe tomorrow we'll start with the Rav Chaim again because I want to say out a few Nafka Mina Rav Chaim, and then I'll tell you what else we're going to do tomorrow. But meanwhile, Jonathan, go ahead.
How can we assume that there's a mitzvah of burning your chametz according to the Chachamim?
Why do we assume that what?
How can we assume that there's a mitzvah of burning chametz according to the Chachamim?
There isn't. The Chachamim argue on Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says the mitzvah is to burn it. And the Chachamim then come and say, you don't have to burn it. You could burn it, but you can also throw it into the ocean. You can also break it into pieces and throw it up into the wind. It sounds like the Chachamim are agreeing with Rabbi Yehuda that you can burn it, but giving more options.
Wasn't the Torah saying though that it's the reason why the Nafkamina is that according to one of them, Nasas Mitzvah is you've done a mitzvah, and according to another one of them, perhaps there isn't a mitzvah that's been done.
So that's Rabbi Kiviger's kasha. Is what do you mean the mitzvah hasn't been done? You think according to the, when the Chachamim say, you don't have to burn it, you can even throw it into the ocean. You think that they hold that if you burn it, you weren't mekayim the mitzvah of Teshbisu? They say you can throw it into the ocean and be mekayim the mitzvah of Teshbisu. You can break it into pieces and throw it into the wind. So of course if you burn it, you're mekayim the mitzvah of Teshbisu. And once you've done the mitzvah, it should trigger Nasas Mitzvah. So then the Afer should be
Mitzvah. Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, good.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, do you think Rabbi Akiva Eger's Kashi is more on Tosfos for suggesting the concept of Nasas Mitzvah or on the tour for applying it to this case?
That's a good question. I think he's specifically asking on the tour because maybe Tosfos would say, maybe, I don't know if Tosfos would apply it to the question of Chametz. You know, the tour is the one who's in trouble here because he specifically applied it to Chametz. Hmm. Okay. So let's take a look at, yeah, Benny.
Tosos, that he added that Lashon in the Mishnah, was that also the theory of Yehuda? Because in the Mishnah it said, Amr Yehuda, Amr Yehuda. So the thing that Tosos quoted us now in our Mishnah, is that also only in Chitash of Yehuda?
No, I think, the Mishnah in Temura is not talking about Chametz specifically. It's talking about... And then the Mishnah says, according to Tosfos, anything which is Nisrafin, the Afer is Mutter. Anything which is Nikbarin, the Afer is Usser. So Tosfos says...
The Gemara that you gave from the Koros.
Yeah, yeah.
It's based off that says that, like, on Amud Aleph, on Amud Aleph, it's based off the thing of Amr of Yehuda, which said, I don't remember what it said, that it said Amr of Yehuda, that Kolan, Nisrafin, Eno Nikravin and any Kravin Eno Nisrafin.
Which just let me look at which Gemara. Which Gemara are you referring to?
I'm a Dalit in Temura.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What about it?
That was like the Mishnah went on to say like three things that only Amar Rebbe Yehuda. So maybe the thing that Tosfos also is quoting is only Amar Rebbe Yehuda.
Okay, but be that as it may, the Mishnah is still telling us that there's a difference between things that have a din Sreifa and things that have a din Kfura.
Maybe that would only be in Chitash Rebbe Yehuda who held that Dafka by Sreifa.
So the Torah clearly didn't think that way, right?
Yeah.
Right, because the Torah is the one who is applying it now to the Machlokas, Rebbe Yehuda and the Chachamim. So Dean might welcome what you're saying, because maybe that would mean that Rebbe Kiviger's discussion has nothing to do with Tosfos. It's much more an issue with the Torah who applied Tosfos.
Right.
Okay, so I'm going to want you guys to look at these makoros inside, but let me just at least begin with Rav Chaim. So Rav Chaim is trying to address this Rambam. Again, we have to get back to the original Rambam. We're not going to get back to it today. But Rav Chaim quotes the Rav Kiviger, it's Kasha on the Torah, and he wants to defend the Torah. And Rav Chaim says as follows. He says that we are totally misunderstanding the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. We think that the Machlokas of Yehuda and the Chachamim is all about methods for fulfilling Tashbisu. Rabbi Yehuda holds Sreifa, and the Chachamim say, no, you have other options. Meaning it's not a very fundamental Machlokas, seemingly. It's a very technical Machlokas. Which methods did the Torah give us to fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisu? Comes Rav Chaim, and Rav Chaim says, no, this is a super fundamental Machlokas about how to understand the mitzvah of Tashbisu. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the mitzvah of Tashbisu is a mitzvah, kumva esei, to get up and destroy chametz. That is the mitzvah of Tashbisu. It's a din in the cheftza, that I have a mitzvah to destroy this chametz that's in front of me. According to the Chachamim, the mitzvah sasei of Tashbisu is not really a mitzvah sasei. It's really more what we would call an Isser Aseh. What's an Isser Aseh? An Isser Aseh is something that's written in the Torah as an Aseh, but it's really an Isser. So for instance, there's an Isser for a Kohen Gadol to marry a woman who's not a Besula, a Be'ula. How do we know that? Because the Torah says, Ki in Besula me'amov yikach isha, that he should go out and get a Besula. Doesn't mean that he's mekayim a mitzvah when he marries a besula. Okay, he might be a mekayim mitzvah if you hold it as a mitzvah of kiddushin. But he's not mekayim a mitzvah. There's no mitzvah saseh. Before he marries a besula, he doesn't say, I'm now going to be mekayim the mitzvah of ki im besula me'am of yikach isha. There's an isser to marry a non-besula. Okay, another example, for instance. It says to go out and shecht. Now, is shechting a mitzvah? Do I get a mitzvah when I shecht meat? Or when the Torah says you have to shecht meat, it's teaching me an isser. The isser is not to eat unshechted meat. So why did the Torah write it as an asay then? Why didn't it write an isser? The answer is because there's no malchus. When something's a real full-blown isser, you get malchus. When something's only an isser asay, that means it's written as an asay, but it's really a los asay. It's really an isser, even though it's written as an asay. So says Rav Chaim, the Chachamim learn there's no actual mitzvah to go and destroy chametz. The pasuk says tashpisu su'armi batechem. That's not really a mitzvah. If I go out and destroy chametz, I'm not mekayim a mitzvah. When it says destroy chametz, what it's really telling me is don't have chametz. It's on me. I have a problem to have chametz. I'm not mekayim a mitzvah when I destroy chametz. So says Rav Chaim, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are having a huge fundamental machlokas about the mitzvah of tashbisu. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a mitzvah to destroy it. And you know how I know that? Because the Torah tells me how to destroy it by burning it. And that's how I'm mekayim the mitzvah. According to the Chachamim, there's no mitzvah saseh to destroy chametz. There's an isser to have chametz. But the Torah worded it as an asay. It said tashbisu, but it's not that tashbisu is a mitzvah. Rather, that there's an isser to not destroy my chametz. So let me give you a very nice nafkamina that will just help you understand the difference between the two opinions. Beautiful nafkamina. Does, let's say, Ephraim is a very good cleaner, and he cleaned his home early from yeshiva, and he wants to help his parents, so he helps clean the house, and now the house is perfectly clean. And now it's right before Pesach, and everyone's going to the fire to burn the chametz on Erev Pesach. So the Greenbergs are looking all over their house, and Ephraim cleaned the house so well that he can't find any chametz. So Ephraim is back from yeshiva, and he says, oh my gosh, we're not going to be making the mitzvah of tashbisu. There's a mitzvah of tashbisu on Erev Pesach to destroy chametz. Let me quickly run down to ShopRite, and I'll buy a piece of bread in order so that we can be making the mitzvah of tashbisu. Is that a smart thing to do or not? If you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, you better believe that's a smart thing to do. If you want to be mekayim the mitzvah of tashbisu, you have to go out and buy chametz on Erev Pesach to be mekayim the mitzvah of tashbisu. But if you hold like the chachamim, there's no inyan to go buy chametz. The whole idea is to not have chametz. If you already don't have chametz, why would you go out and get chametz? That doesn't help anything. You're not mekayim a mitzvah by destroying the chametz, right? There's a mitzvah to take a lulav. So you go out and you buy a lulav. There's no mitzvah to destroy chametz. Some inyan, there's an isser to have chametz. Says Rav Chaim, that's the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Okay, how does this help? Well, this now perfectly explains the Torah. Rav Chaim says this is exactly what the Torah held. According to Rabbi Yehuda, let's remember what the Torah said. The Torah said, does burning your chametz trigger the din of nasas mitzvasa? So if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, there's a mitzvah asay to destroy chametz. So when I go and I burn my chametz, I'm a kaima mitzvah. Oh, nasas mitzvasa. The afer is now mutter. But if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, when you threw it in, you even hear it in Rabbi Yehuda's, in the Chachamim Shita. Because the Chachamim say, oh, you don't have to burn it. Just throw it in the ocean, throw it in the wind, flush it down the toilet. What are they basically saying? What they're basically saying is, we don't care about the act of burning. There's no mitzvah to burn. There's no mitzvah to destroy chametz. There's an inyan to just get all your chametz out of your house. So get rid of it however you can. Burn it, throw it in the toilet, throw it in the wind. And therefore, according to the Chachamim, even when you burn it, you haven't done a mitzvah. Nasas mitzvasa is only triggered if you go out and you did a mitzvah saseh with the thing. You didn't do a mitzvah saseh. There's no mitzvah to destroy chametz. So you can't burn it and say, oh, now I was mekayim a mitzvah saseh. No, you avoided an isser. You didn't do a mitzvah. And that's why, according to, this is what the Torah is saying, that according to the Chachamim, forever, there's always going to still be a problem, even with the Efer, because Lamaisa, we never trigger the din of Nasas Mitzvasa. That is how Rav Chaim explains the Torah. So I'll give you one other nafkamina just to help you understand it very nicely. Can you destroy your chametz al yedei a goy? This is actually amazing. The Magen Avraham quotes in Shulchan Aruch that you can destroy your chametz al yedei a goy. Comes Rabbi Akiva Eiger, same Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Akiva Eiger comments on the Shulchan Aruch and says, you can't have a goy destroy your chametz. Goyim aren't b'torah shlichus. A goy can't be a shliach. What's going on here? How come Magen Avraham says you can and Rabbi Akiva Eiger says you can't? Because Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that's why he asked this question. Rabbi Akiva Eiger understood that everybody holds as a mitzvah saseh to destroy your chametz. The machlokas was only over, do you need to do it with burning or can you do it with other ways? But everyone held that there's a mitzvah saseh. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger said, you can't have a goy do it because a goy can't do a mitzvah saseh for you. And that's why Rabbi Akiva Eiger asked on the tour. Rabbi Akiva asked on the tour, even if you do it like the chachamim, you throw it into the ocean, l'maisa, nasis mitzvasa, the efer should be mutter. Should be Akiva Eiger's l'shitoso. But why does the Magen Avraham say that you can't have a guy do it? Because we paskin like the chachamim. According to the chachamim, there's no mitzvah to destroy. You just have to make sure you don't have it. So we don't care how you get rid of it. Get rid of it through a guy, throw it down the toilet. Doesn't matter how you do it. It doesn't matter who does it for you. The inyan is to get to a matzav where you don't have chametz, or else you're going to be over on an iser. But there's no actual mitzvah with the destruction of the chametz. So we have three nafkamina. If you learn like Rav Chaim, we have three nafkamina between the chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. Number one is the efer mutter. The Torah says that explicitly. Number two, can you do it al yedei goy? According to Rabbi Yehuda, you cannot. So Yehuda thinks it's an actual mitzvah. According to the Chachamim, you can, because it's not an actual mitzvah. And the third nafkamina is, should you go out and buy chametz on Erev Pesach? According to Rabbi Yehuda, you for sure should. So you can be kind of mitzvah saseh with it. According to the Chachamim, you should not, because there's no mitzvah saseh. Okay, well, I'm going to leave you with this. What you have to now figure out, you're going to go back to the Rav Chaim. How does Rav Chaim use this to explain the original Rambam that we asked about Lav Hanitak L'Esseh? Tomorrow, we're going to start with Emir Tzashem. We're going to see how Rav Chaim answers up the original Rambam that we brought up. Then we're going to go through the Rav asked the Bam Kasha on his grandfather, on Rav Chaim. Bam Kasha. Is Rav Chaim really right? So we're going to see the Rav's question, and then we're going to see the Rav answers to defend his grandfather.